We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Carlo Navas. And with me today, we have producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins.
How's it going, bros?
We are, we're doing good. We're back from vacation. I went to Italy and Poland. That's why we took some time off. Apparently a monster news week. Am I right, guys? We're going to discuss all that today. And also with me today is Christian Hernandez, our statistician and professional photoshopper.
There we go. Yes, and I'm also doing very well.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. You know, we're all doing well. We're all ready to discuss this. Not a slow news week at all, right, guys? I mean, there's tons going on, tons of roster shakeups, you know, in the last 2 weeks.
Bruh.
I wish we had a production of cricket noises. Maybe Brian.
Oh, I'm sure Brian will work something in there.
Some cricket noises. We are in the dog days of the off season, boys. We're gonna aggregate other podcasts and yell about other people's takes and our own. This is pretty much where we're at this point.
Although there was a little bit of news, which is really great to see, and that's that Bam finally got his Team USA invite, because it seemed like they weren't gonna invite just about anybody in the league.
I mean, anybody who would do it. I mean, like, when did Team USA become the unsexy thing to do? Like, it used to be an honor, and now everyone's like, nah, man, nah, fam.
In 2004.
Well, yeah.
It's been a while. It's been a long time, Gianni.
I mean, it's the FIBA World. I mean, I guess the Olympics are a little different. The World Cup, no one cares about.
It's different because this year, FIBA decided that they wanted to move their World Cup not 2 years before the Olympics, but the year right before. So you're basically having to commit 6 weeks of your off season away, wherever the hell you have to be, 2 years in a row?
Yeah.
A lot of players don't like playing back-to-back, so I don't think they like playing back-to-back summers around away from their actual home. So
I mean, it's just it's a training camp invite, so it's not like a roster invite. Anthony Davis, Paul Millsap, Kevin Love, Montrezl Harrell, that's a funny name to put above Bam.
Anthony Davis is not in that.
I'm saying that they declined to play.
Oh, okay.
That those guys, then inexplicably Montrezl Harris. This is a funny name to put before Bam. Montrezl Harrell, I'm sorry. Among the big men expected to join the Team USA will also be Andre Drummond, Julius Randle, Brooke Lopez, PJ Tucker, and Miles Turner. Are we calling PJ Tucker a big man?
They forgot Mason Plumlee.
Is Mason there, Daniel? What a bad crop of players.
I had the I had the roster here.
I'm glad that Andre Drummond's in this mix because I have some bones to pick with Basketball Buds about this Andre Drummond versus Bam Adebayo thing. So we'll get to that in a second. But
Thaddeus Young's on the roster, though. I actually really like Thaddeus.
Let me tell you something, dude. I'm a Thad Young and Robin Lopez apologist. Like I oddly stan those guys so much.
There's nothing to apologize for. They're both solid players.
Like, I think that people talk a lot about, like, Indiana's placement and everything for the season. And I think that losing Thad Young is not a small thing. They all talk about Bogdanovich and Collison. But, man, Thad Young at that position, that's probably the most important position you need a defender at in the league at this point, especially up against the kinds of guys that they're going to be going up against. So losing him is a big, big blow. Darren Collison, of course. And, I mean, they have Brogdon now, but... I think it's really good, not just for Bam, but kind of for the franchise, for him to get that invite, to kind of get a guy in national talking points that's not Jimmy Butler. I've kind of noticed that the talk around the Heat have been such a non-factor in the public sphere that people don't know how to talk about them, right? So I'm listening to all sorts of NBA podcasts, and like people don't really know what the Heat have been doing the last couple of years. It's just kind of like... they're floating around 500. You may tune in. You may catch a Dion Waiters doing too much game. But other than that, I don't think people really know how the hell this team plays. Like, and why would you? Like, why would anybody be watching?
Yeah, I mean, how many primetime games did they even have last season? I don't think it was more than like 3 or 4.
And they're not like an exciting league pass team either. It's not like the Heat were playing this high-flying style of, you know, DJJ dunks every, like, no, they're playing like, you know, their little dribble handoff stuff, and they're kind of playing like bad to average offense. You know, they're a good defensive team. Like, it's not, they're not like a sexy league pass watch. So,
yeah, I mean, the issue like with last season was it was essentially part Dwayne Wade's farewell tour. It was part trying to play these veteran guys that you have that are good, but they're on massive contracts, and you're trying to get them to prove their worth, essentially, so that those contracts could be movable. So you have to play them, when really what you probably should be doing is playing the younger guys and letting them get reps at the NBA level. But there's compromises, and that's kind of why they've just been floating in muck for the last few years.
And don't forget about the massive logjam at guard that they had. Like, they had Tyler, Wayne Ellington, Jay Rich, Dion, they're even trying to play Winslow, Goron. That's a lot of damn guards, you know, like what they had at some point in the season. And I'm sure I'm even missing someone. So the fact that they've been so, like, obscure and irrelevant, it's not surprising, but... I think that Bam kind of getting that invite and kind of getting himself on the national like stage in the national conversation, you know, outside of Jimmy Butler, I do think that's going to do it some good. It'll get some eyes on him. I know people are high on him around the league, but I'm just happy that he got that chance. I kind of wish Justice did. I think Justice is better than Bam, right? I Kristen, we were talking about this pre-show. Like I think people have this perception that like Justice Winslow was probably the best player on the team last season. Like, people don't know that.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because Bam is still obviously a lot more about what he can be, because especially the last two off seasons now, I mean, we're watching him do it again in the Miami Pro League, and obviously he's going to get a chance to hopefully show it, you know, on the world stage. But Bam can really play, and he can do a lot more than what his role has dictated of him. So, I mean, I really hope that he is able to show off things like his ability to create off the dribble and his ability to shoot that really kind of force Miami's hand into incorporating that into their general strategy on offense. Because just yes, he's a great screener, but he's more than just a lob guy. He is an insane lob guy. But he is he can be so much more than that, and it's worth exploring because at his size, his athleticism, like that is an end game type player if he fills out the way that you hope that he will.
And not a small thing, free throw percentage above 70 both years, and he improved last year.
That's one of the reasons why I believed in him from the very beginning, because his free throw shooting has always been very above average for a big man, and that's something that the Heat need so bad. When was the last time that they were a good free throw shooting team?
He's double digits, by the way, in per 36-minute rebounding. I know that that's something that we've had concern about, the Miami's rebounding without Hassan, who was obviously an elite rebounder. But, you know, you kind of hope that he's going to fill that role with more minutes. And, by the way, in the era of player resting and load management and all that, Bam played all 82 last season.
He did. I think he was the only player on the team to do that.
Yeah, so like he's durable. He's a guy that, you know, plays hard and plays hard for all 82. But kind of going back to the point about Justice was better than him last season. Justice is, I think, the most talented player on the team. I mean, other than Jimmy Butler, like we're excluding Jimmy. We're talking about like last year's Heat team. Like, you know, I think you have quite the case for Winslow being their best player, or at the worst, second best player.
I've seen a lot of people on Sixers Twitter really hype up Josh Richardson more of late since the Jimmy Butler deal. And
I
would have to agree with you. No, they're seriously considering, like, we gave away our best two players in Hassan and Jay Rich just to land Jimmy Butler, who they think isn't even... I saw someone say he isn't even better than Justice Winslow. Which I don't know where the fuck they're getting that.
Why? What? Why does Justice, like? Why do people think this of Justice? Like, Justice had the only time they were in the playoffs. Well, I guess the only two times Justice played well both playoff runs. Like,
yeah, and against Philly.
I don't understand. Like, Justice was BNA. He was about that action. Like, what? And he had a really good regular season. I think that's so confusing.
Did you say BNA there?
Yeah.
I think it's
Did you remember the thing?
I think it's BA.
Yeah,
it's did I just typo? B-A-N. Did I just typo the acronym?
Bitch ass.
When you're so on brand.
But I mean, you know, a lot of that stems from his first couple seasons. He was injured a lot. You know, there's a lot of reasons why he didn't play well. His shot, like I remember, his shot looked pretty ugly.
He had
in
a
the
lot
beginning.
Of air balls that you definitely see on Twitter.
But he cleared a lot of that up. And I guess it's going to take, because the Heat haven't gotten a lot of national exposure, no. I guess it's just going to take some time for people to realize that the strides he's made in various parts of his game are real, on top of the fact that he's already a borderline elite defender because of his versatility.
So the only thing about Justice I'm concerned about is, so he's improved the three-point shooting pretty much every year in the league. Even last 2017-2018, he was 38%. Then last season, he was 37%, 37.5%. But he got the attempts up by over one. So, you know, you kind of take that drop off with the increased attempts. The thing with Justice that concerns me is the free throw shooting. Unlike Bam, he's never crossed 70%. He's been in the 60s. And that's actually kind of gone up and down. Last year, he was at 62%, which is bad. And he's a guy that can get to the line. He can bully his way to the rim. He is good with the ball. He's very good at pick and roll. So I'm kind of concerned about that and how that's going to, if that's an indicator on his shooting or if his shooting will be an indicator of his free throw shooting.
So an interesting thing about his free throw shooting is that every year of his career, he's never averaged more than 2.5 free throw attempts a game. Essentially, he's getting to the line once a game. And It's not, if he's going to make the leap to be like an all-star type player, that has got to improve. He's got to draw more fouls. He's got to be more assertive in you know, catching defenders off guard, and he's got to make free throws. And like, there's an argument to be made that players get better on their free throws. I'm sure someone's done like a statistical analysis on this, but I'm sure that over time, their free throw percentage does improve because you're getting more chances at the same look, you know?
And you get in a rhythm.
Exactly. You get in a rhythm. So, you know, I think that's part of the issue with him. But no, and the other thing is that he's clearly been changing his mechanics through the years. So, you know, if you keep changing things up, it's bound to be a struggle until you stick to one. And he looks like he's been shooting relatively the same stroke for the last year or so.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe he could take a DeMar DeRozan-type free throw leap, which is what really got DeMar into being an elite player. Obviously, DeMar was already averaging around 4 free throws before he took the leap to like 8 or 9. But you're kind of hoping that Justice can get to that 5.5 range,
Did you just become like a savant in like weird Raptors like stats?
Buddy,
the 3 months that you were like a Raptors stan?
I'm a Raptors lifer, dude. I know DDR's career and what chains and him getting to the free throw line. Come on, dude.
Which is hilarious because he wasn't even part of the team that won.
No, he wasn't. But I've been about that action, dude, for a while. Like, you know that I've been standing the Raptors and I've been believing in them for too long.
What's your favorite Raptors team besides the 2018-19 championship team?
The Mo Pete one.
Morris Peterson?
Morris Peterson?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the team
was
awesome.
That's such a random... I mean, he's good. He's a great three-point shooter.
He answered that so fast.
I know.
Dude, are you kidding me? Dude, come on.
Were you waiting for someone to ask you that?
Dude, I've been waiting for Raptors questions my whole life. Like, come on.
Let's ask him another one. Who's your favorite dunker that's not Vince Carter?
See, that's kind of difficult because I think the easy answer is Tracy McGrady, but I also feel like that's kind of cheating since they were on the same team and it's the same era. Am I allowed to go T-Mac?
Go someone else. That's not T-Mac.
Terrence Ross? I mean, he was exciting, high flyer.
That's a good answer.
Come on, dude.
That's a very good answer.
Do you want to test me more? You want to go back to it later?
Thoughts on Andrea Bargnani?
A number one pick, really disappointing. Honestly, I feel like Barg's has had really bad rebounding numbers, not only because Chris Bosh was there, but because he was out there camping in the three-point line, which is probably not good for his career. Not a good situation for him. I don't think him and Chris Bosh were a good tandem, and Chris Bosh wasn't like the defender he is now. At the time in Toronto, he was not like this all-elite pick-and-roll defender. So him and Bargs were kind of turnstiles. Bosh would hog the rebounds, and they'd have Bargs, not even in the damn corner. They'd have him on the wing just like shooting threes. It was just not good. Remember, he has Jose Calderon, right? So it was just a lot of bad defenders.
Bards.
You're impressed. Admit it. You're impressed.
I'm trying to find random Raptors players.
You are impressed right
okay,
now.
Okay, let's not give in to Gianni's desire to make this a Raptors podcast.
They had Marcus Banks.
Wasn't he on the Heat at one point too?
Yeah, he was. And they had Sean Marion and Marcus Banks the same year.
They did. The Heat traded them, Sean Marion. The Heat traded.
Was that part of the same trade?
That was a Jermaine O'Neal trade.
Oh, yeah.
Miami got J.O., who then forgot how to play basketball against the Celtics in the 2010 playoffs.
I was looking at his basketball reference the other day. He declined so bad and so fast.
Dude, if you remember,
a 20-10 player. He was like an all-star for 8 straight seasons. And he wasn't even 30. I think he just turned 30 years old.
Dude, Indiana Pacers, Jermaine O'Neal was a big-time player.
Yeah, and then like his first year in Toronto, he started to decline. He wasn't an all-star. And then the year after, oh my God, he was so bad with the Heat.
I mean,
2 straight years.
Actually, he was actually pretty good for the Heat, and then he just got hurt and fell off a cliff.
On that contract, though, he was not.
No, I mean, he was their second option. If you remember when Wade would be out of game, and we've done the J.O. show a million times. I can't believe that we talked about him.
No, he was an abomination.
Okay, but like you're doing this all in the context of his trade helped facilitate the big three. So
it did,
yeah. It did.
Pat Riley light years ahead,
even though he wanted Carlos Boozer and Lamar Odom.
But Pat's weird, dude, because Pat also wanted Lamar, and Lamar didn't come. So you know that I mean, getting Odom would have totally nuked the big three.
When did that trade happen? Hold on,
that happened in the middle of the season.
Yeah, February 14th, 2009. Yeah. I believe that deal was to get off Sean Marion's long term money, and Jermaine O'Neal was an expiring.
Did they send Jamario Moon? I think they also said Jamario Moon.
Oh, yeah, we had Jamario. Oh,
yeah,
they did. You should have answered Jamario Moon instead of Terrence Ross.
I can't believe I remember that stupid, inconsequential piece to the J.O. trade. Oh, man, I remember being a Heat fan back then. You know, you had to go to the Heat.com message boards, and it was just constantly complaining. Not unlike Heat Twitter in the early days, it was just complaining as to why doesn't James Jones play more. Same. We were beating that drum for Same. Years.
Dude, this article is amazing. O'Neal, it's trade of the Sean Marion, Jermaine O'Neal trade. O'Neal makes $23 million next season in the final year of his contract, after which Miami will try to re-sign Dwayne Wade and flank Wade and current rookie Michael Beasley with another free agent superstar such as Stoudemire or Toronto's Chris Bosh.
Oh my God, we didn't think we were in for LeBron.
Dude, it is amazing. I still remember that that summer so vividly.
Was it Mario Chalmers the only player under contract when the offseason started?
Exactly. No, it was three players. It was Daquan Cook, it was Mario Chalmers, and Michael Beasley.
But they unloaded Daquan and Beasley, and Daquan ended up in Oklahoma City.
The same night that LeBron announced that he was coming, yeah. No,
it was on draft night.
No, well, actually, no, yeah, Daquan was on draft night. No, Michael Beasley was the same night that
LeBron Michael Beasley was on draft night. I remember, because I remember.
I remember it being the same night.
Okay, we have Google.
Let's look this up.
We're looking up. 2010 draft night transactions.
When did Michael Beasley get traded?
Hold on, July 9th.
Ooh, okay, Brian's right.
Brian's right. The Miami Heat quickly followed up their triumph in the LeBron James sweepstakes by finding a taker for Michael Beasley.
Later!
Yeah, Andy Ellsberg was so great.
Was it Phoenix?
Way ahead of his time.
Was it Phoenix or Minnesota? I don't remember.
It was Minnesota.
It was Minnesota.
Yeah, we gave up a first-round pick, I think.
Yeah. Well, no, Pat was handing out first-round picks that
I think
summer.
We gave them back. No, I think we gave them back their own first-round pick.
Oh, my God. How many first-round picks did they offload that summer?
Was it five?
Did they trade five first-round picks that summer?
Yeah.
He was like, I just landed three mother-bleeping superstars and two elite superstars.
So, Pat, let's
fuck
say
all
this,
the picks.
Let's get this straight. What Pat gave up for LeBron and Bosch is essentially what the Clippers gave for Paul George.
Probably more.
Oh, no, because they gave up Shea, right? They gave up Shea Gil.
Maybe actually the same, because technically they gave up pick swaps too, which the Heat.
They gave second round picks. The Heat also gave second round picks.
Yeah, I think the Clippers probably gave more. Plus, they gave up a really good player in Shea. So
yeah, there you go. We got your 2010 reliving the memories of draft talk and Toronto Raptors, Mo Pete teams, and Tracy McGrady and Terrence Ross. Only here on the Miami Heat beat. I heard a discussion on the Basketball Buds. It's a podcast for The Athletic. You should check it out. It's really, really good. And they were having a discussion about Bam versus Andre Drummond for next year. Like, who would you rather have? And I'm doing this while I'm cooking. I'm cooking some nice Jamaican food dinner. And I get incredulously mad at this argument because everyone's taking Andre Drummond over Bam. And I don't understand this fascination with Andre Drummond, who has never done any significant winning in his life. I don't like calling other players losers. I mean, these are obviously like incredible athletes
but
who are
you
the
essentially
top of their sport.
Did.
But that guy's a fucking loser, dude. Get out of here, man. That guy's never done anything. He's just we talk about Hassan being empty stats. Hassan was like the same guy as him. He just pouted a lot. Like Andre Drummond is like, what are we doing with Andre Drummond? Like, why are we keeping believing in this guy, right? And now he says he wants to shoot threes. Good luck. I mean, come on, man. Get out of here. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, why? What are we doing with him? Like, we think he's going to have a Brook Lopez revival? You know, like, what's his fascination with Andre Drummond, who's never won anything in his life? His teams are always horrible. Horrible. His teams always suck. And they all depend on him. Like, why? I don't understand. Like, what? I was offended on Bam's behalf. I was offended. If I'm Bam, if I'm Idris Adebayo, I throw something when I hear that. Because I'm just like, I'm offended. It's bullshit.
What are you throwing?
His phone.
Here, I'm going to look at them side
his
by
phone
side.
With a page of Basketball Reference of Andre Drummond's win-loss record. This is bad.
I'm looking up if Andre Drummond's still dating Jeanette McCurdy, who used to be the character on, was it iCarly?
I remember that. No, he's not.
He's not?
He's not. Disappointing. That was quite the nasty public breakup, Brian.
Oh, there are breakups.
Get your celebrity couples
2014,
right.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Jesus, Brian, that's dated. Jesus Christ. He still had Ray Allen. That's how old that is.
I mean, look, okay, part of the issue with comparing Bam and Andre is that a lot of people just look at freaking, like, per-game stats, and Andre played 10 more minutes per game than Bam did, and so his numbers obviously look way more inflated than his.
Andre's only 25? That's kind of shocking. I feel like he's been in the league forever.
He has, because he came in at 18.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, but, like, for example, I mean, Bam shot better than Andre from the field, He shows more upside as a shooter. He's a 74% free throw shooter compared to a 59% free throw shooter. Almost like, right. If you just gave Bam the same, like, minutes, like, and not
I
to
mean,
mention,
I don't think Bam's averaging 16 rebounds a game.
Like, no, he's not, like, but like, he's bringing it back in other ways. Like, he's going to average 3 to 4 assists a game, where Andre only averages an assist and a half. Like, Bam is going to average, you know, probably close to, like, 2 steals and 2 blocks a game if he's playing 34 to 36 minutes.
And the Pistons weren't even an elite rebounding team last year. Which was a point that they made on the basketball board. So I was like, this dude is like eating rebounds and his teams always suck at rebounding. So what the hell are we doing? That he were actually, you know, all this shit we give Hassan, to his credit, Hassan at least made the Heat a good rebounding team.
Yeah.
Like when he was on the floor, like they were an elite rebounding. So, you know, I don't know. I just kind of like, again, I feel that that plays into like how the national media looks at the Heat. Again, the Heat are relatively, you know, whatever. They're a 500 team that's really scrappy and they'll claw their way with good coaching and character to, you know, 500 record, right? So like I get that like not a lot of people are watching it, but it's just like, I don't know, it kind of bothers me. It's like, why are we doing this with Andre Drummond? Like what do you think this is? Like, yeah, he's 25 years old, whatever. Yeah, but he's been in the league 7 years. Like,
well, I mean, in the same argument that you make for other players that have kind of taken like a mid-career leap, like he is only 25. And, you know, it's not like he hasn't shown improvement. Like, here, okay, I don't want to just say that. I'm going to actually look it up.
No, I mean, he's improved the scoring most years in the league. You know, he's had a career high in scoring last season. You know, he had the season before, he had 16 rebounds. Last season, he was 15 and a half.
Oh, so my God. Yeah. I mean, you guys remember that for like 5 seasons, he was like a 38% free throw shooter. Last 2 seasons, he shot 60%. Like, that's a notable improvement. You know, last 2 seasons, he's had more assists, better assist numbers than any time in his career.
And he's improved as a defender. Like, I will give him that. You know, he was really a bad defender when he started and cement footed, and he's been a lot better. He's very durable. I mean, he's played 81, 82, 81, 81, 78, 79 in an era, again, that nobody plays any game. So
his arms are way less hairy, like way less noticeably hairy. He waxes them now.
For a blue. That's like such an old joke.
That's a great point.
That's like a, Brian, that's like a 3-year-old Miami Heapie joke. If you remember the origin of that joke, thank you. Tweet us. You are OG. And with that, we welcome the Blue Wire Sports Network. Thank you, Blue Wire, for housing us. We are part of the Blue Wire family. Check out the rest of our shows on Blue Wire, like our friends at Light Years Ahead with Sam Esfandiari and Andy Liu, or our boys at the Chase Down with Justin, Rowan, and Carter Rodriguez.
Is Carter still alive?
Carter should be alive.
Yeah, I mean, I think his spirit happened. Is alive, but yeah. His Twitter account is very dead.
Is Carter not tweeting?
Yeah, he got suspended. Blocked.
He did? What did he get suspended for? What happened to Carter? What did I miss? What did I miss while I was in Europe?
I think he went after some fan.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, before I forget,
Twitter brought down the hammer.
I'm very sorry to everyone that was upset with last episode of me eating. I'll make sure not to do that again.
Were people complaining?
Yeah, apparently, yeah. Brian just like let me know that some people complained. You know, and I do chew loud. Like it's awful to watch in person. I feel bad for everyone around me.
I mean, we try to be professional, so you know.
Yeah, that is too. But at least
give the illusion of professionalism.
Gianni, do you want to tell your story from your vacation?
Oof. Okay. So, like I said, everybody, Blue Wire Network, welcome. So, I kind of in the dog days of the off season, where there's not much to talk about other than an occasional BAM Team USA call up or a debate on the basketball buds that we were mad at. We might do some story time. Okay, with this, maybe Heat Beat is known for story time. You know, we've had segments in the past. Me and my Ukrainian friend. If you remember that story, tons of fun stories.
Heat Beat After Dark.
Looking for a good time? Feeling all hot and bothered? Does Bam Adebayo's plus minus turn you on? Then this is for you. This is Heat Beat After Dark.
So, I was, as we mentioned, I was in Italy and Poland for my nice vacation, and I was in Poland for a wedding. My sister's best friend was getting married. Congratulations, Ola and Patrick, for getting married. It's a wonderful ceremony. Woo! And wedding. Yeah, it was fun.
Olin Patrick.
Shout out to Olin Patrick. We were great hosts, by the way. Awesome. Good friends. Awesome people. Anyways, so I was at their wedding, and it was we're in Poland. It's a Polish wedding, traditional Polish wedding. It's a lot of vodka going around, right? So the wedding is like...
What is a traditional Polish wedding for people who don't know, like me?
A lot of sausage?
You know what? Not enough sausage, okay? I wanted sausage, and there wasn't really like an abundance of sausage. It was like
Are they big on sauerkraut there? No, that's Germany, right?
Yeah, that's more Germany. There is Polish sausage, but it wasn't like a lot. It was a lot of fried pork, though. A lot of fried pork. A lot of food.
I like fried pork.
No pierogi. It's apparently not a wedding food.
What's a pierogi?
You don't know what a pierogi is? It's like a little potato.
I've heard the term, but I don't know what it is.
Dumpling, and it's stuffed with meats and cheeses. They're quite wonderful.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It's like an
Italian gnocchi filled with meat.
Yeah, in a dumpling form. So think of like a Chinese dumpling, but more like potato-y, and then there's like, you know, meat inside. It's wonderful. Okay. Boiled is good. When they're boiled, they're good, and then you put sauces on top, they're great.
All right, continue.
So a lot of fried porks at this Polish wedding. So then the way it works is that you go to the church at like 4:30 in the afternoon, you do the little mass, they do the thing. It was a military wedding because her husband is in the Polish military. They do like the little military sword ceremony, blah, blah, blah. We go have a party, right? So we go, we have our champagne, we toast, blah, blah, blah. And they pretty much bring you out like 7 courses of Polish food and you stuff your face. And every guest has a bottle of vodka placed on the table, right? So we each have a bottle of vodka that we are to consume.
I guess it is very close to Russia.
It is. Let me tell you, these Slavic people, man, woof. They could drink. And when you finish your bottle, when you think you're done, the waiters will bring you another one. So they don't really do open bar over there.
They just open a giant bottle of vodka.
Literally. And then, you know, if somebody opens a bottle of vodka, what they do is they just pour for everyone at the table.
That's,
right? And
hospitality.
You take your shot, and then when it's your turn, you do the same, and then round and round we go. Where it'll stop, who knows?
Uh-oh.
I made it, by the way. I survived. If you've listened to this podcast, you know how weddings can end for me. This one ended good. I kept up with the Poles. The Polish people, is Poles offensive? Am I allowed to say that? I don't even know. I don't think so.
I thought you meant like steel Poles.
No, Polish people. I don't know am I allowed? I don't know. Well, Poles, I kept up with the Polish people drinking. We had a great time. I taught them pa arriba, pa abajo, pa el centro, pa dentro.
Nice. Cheers. Format.
Miami, very, very Miami. Very they loved Miami. It. They were all in on it. A lot of people there asking me about the heat. They didn't even know I did NBA blogging and podcasting, and they're just like,
are you sure they weren't just asking about how hot it was?
They could be. But then they mentioned LeBron, which made me sad because I miss him.
It's true. Was it Taco Tuesday?
I don't think the Taco Tuesday. It's not funny. I don't know why.
Taco Tuesday.
I love LeBron. I just think that's lame.
What day is it?
It's Wednesday.
Are you just going to join the parade of people that are
I'm not doing that.
Things he does lame no. because like...
No, he's great. I love him. I love him and all his corniness. I love it. I think he should never stop. I just think the Taco Tuesday thing's lame. I think he should continue to run on the court and do crazy things when a kid has a dunk because it's cool and he's LeBron. And
how funny would it have been if you made those same exact like motions but like wearing a karate outfit or something?
That's what he should do. You know what he should do? He should just start like upping the ante and just make it more ridiculous every time.
Right? It was just, you know, pissing people off is fun too, you know?
Eventually just do it in full cosplay.
That's what Space Jam 2 is for.
Like doing it like a Spider-Man like cosplay or something, and just like jump and like do that'd be funny.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
LeBron would, or Bugs Bunny to promote the movie.
That's why.
Now that'd be funny if he's doing all that. Okay, so back to the Polish wedding.
Because of Space Jam.
Space Jam, yeah, it's promote the movie. And the reason why we're telling you this is to set up for the grand finale of the most vulnerable I've ever felt in my life.
Was the eating a lot of food like setting it up a little bit?
No, it's just kind of setting the scene. You know,
okay.
Yes, no, it's a yes.
There's this beautiful Polish woman that I fell head over heels, love at first sight. I really wanted to talk to her, and I wanted to see if she spoke English. Maybe we could have a dance. Who knows? Who knows where the night will take us? We talked a little bit. We had a chat. She's very nice. She spoke a little bit of English. Very nice woman. She had a boyfriend, however, who was in the military, who was also there, who had high rank, apparently. And I was hating.
Was
I was like, oh.
Is that a threat?
I don't know. I don't know. It was. He was intimidating. And then he asked me to drink with him. I didn't know what that meant. After I was talking to his girlfriend, he just puts his hand on my shoulder, talks to me a bit, and then says, let's get a drink. Vodka? And I was like, sure. Let's go. Vodka. So it was, I was intimidated. It was scare tactics.
Wait. Were the only American there?
My sister and I were the only Americans there.
That's probably why.
Yeah. It was... People like to talk to us, maybe because we were American. By the way, Polish people, apparently, tradition is they have to watch Home Alone every Christmas.
What?
And it's like religion, because they said, the, you know, they were telling me before Trump got elected, they only knew him from helping Kevin in Home Alone. And they're like, oh, yeah, and a lot, like, too many people were agreeing with that. And I go, like, you guys, like, fuck with Home Alone that way? And they go, every Christmas, it's tradition. They play on the national channel and everything.
Oh,
and
my
it,
God, this is a real thing. I'm looking this up right now.
Yeah, it's crazy. We actually did a toast to Kevin from Home Alone. It was the most magical thing.
Home Alone in Poland, an unexpected national tradition.
That should be the podcast name.
I cannot believe that this
is a real
thing.
It was the weirdest thing. And they told me that they took it off the air one year to play something else, like Elf or something, and that the Polish people got mad and had this massive petition. It's crazy. I know.
Could
it's
you
so
imagine
weird.
If American
Over
people
10%
that?
Of the population of Poland will watch this broadcast live annually.
It's crazy.
Oh, because they do a Home Alone. I guess on some channel, they show it during Christmas, and 10% of Poland watches that broadcast.
It's crazy. It's
I don't even think 10% of the USA watches NBA
now,
basketball.
Now, mind you, this
Christmas
is a Reddit
game.
Stat, but I believe it because
no, people
this is
told
all
me
crazy.
At this wedding, dude. Everyone at that wedding has seen Home Alone, and they love it. And it's like a Christmas tradition. I can't believe
I mean,
it.
It's a fun movie. It really is.
It's a great movie. I just love how that was their introduction to Donald Trump. Helping Kevin in Home Alone.
Man. We should watch them, make them watch that Central Park 5 show on Netflix.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. So, so that's kind of, you know, what we're dealing with. A lot of drinking vodka with Polish people and everything. So then the next day of a Polish wedding, because Polish wedding are 2 days, it's like kind of like a brunch. It's a more chill day, although some people are drinking vodka at 11 o'clock in the morning. I was not doing that. I made it one night. I wasn't going to die the next day.
Oh, my God. Come on, man. That's how you get over the hangover from the night before. That's how you do a vacation.
You have a little beer. You don't have vodka, okay? You have
Says
a little
the alcoholic.
You have a little beer to kind of balance out your alcohol levels. You don't have damn shots of vodka at 11:10 a.m., okay? These people were, like, pouring more, and I was like, nah, man, I'm good. I'm just having cake and maybe a little beer later. Like, that's it. I can't believe I'm going to tell the story on air. I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Everyone is going to appreciate it. I don't want to say love it, but appreciate it.
It's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me. So, we're having a good time. We're talking, we're eating, you know, having brunch, kind of, you know, talking about the night before Kevin, blah, blah, blah. Then I was like, yo, let me go freshen up. So we're dressed nice, right? I'm in slacks and a button down. The night before I was in a suit. It's formal wear. It's a little more casual than the wedding because there's no jacket, but we're all in formal wear. So I go to the bathroom, kind of wash my face. I'm exhausted. I slept 3 hours. Go to the bathroom. Can't believe I'm going to say this. And I shit myself.
No, but how? What were you doing?
I was peeing, and it just came out the other end, and I didn't ask it, and I didn't. It just happened, and that's never happened to me before.
You were just trying to let a little fart go or something, right?
I don't know what happened. I just know that was not supposed to happen, and it did. And I'm frozen in the stall, and I'm thinking, okay, what are my options here? Like I'm freaking out. I'm embarrassed. I'm alone. It's hot because there's
alone.
No. Yeah, there's no AC, and I'm hot, I'm sweating, I'm uncomfortable, I'm scared.
Well, that's what happens when you shit your pants.
You get scared, there's a lot going on, I don't
You're
know what
in
to
love.
Do. What would Bam do in this situation? And I decide at this point I have to ditch the underwear. There's no saving it.
It's the only move.
I had to ditch it.
Yeah.
So I ditched it. I ditched it, got cleaned up, walked out, washed my hands. Looked myself in the mirror and said, you got this. You can make it. There's only 3 more hours of this left. You look myself in the face. I go, you can do this. Okay.
Wait. So you're tucking in your shirt, right?
Yes, I have to.
So at this point,
I'm horrified.
Are you trying to cover up your front more with your shirt so that people don't notice the bulge that might be protruding through your pants?
I didn't even think that far ahead. I just wanted to be clean. I gotta be honest. I just did not want any residue on me, and I said I can just stay seated and I don't have to dance. I don't have to do anything. I could just hang out and I'll make it. Right? So I look myself in the mirror, I'm ready to go. I'm like, okay, let's do this. As I walk out, I'm like, I get paranoid. I'm like, did I check everything? Am I 100% sure that I'm clean? Like,
yeah,
on my
slacks.
Did
you get any on the slacks?
Yeah, is there anything on the slacks? Right? And all of a sudden, as I'm kind of like lightly tapping the back of my slacks, right, to make sure that there's nothing as I'm walking out of the bathroom. And all of a sudden, I hear a voice saying, "Hi, did you have a good time last night?" And I recognized the voice. And when I turned around, it was the beautiful Polish woman I fell in love with the night before, who had the army boyfriend who outranked me and drank vodka with me. And I looked at her.
Who outranked you? Yeah, hello, are you in the military
no,
now?
No, he's not a high rank. He had a lot of stars on his little thing, okay? He had a lot of stars. He had a hat, too. He had a hat, and he looked important.
And how many people he's killed.
Had the biggest smile. She was beautiful, and I felt so vulnerable because I did not want her to see me in this sad state. I was scared. I was confused. I was hoping I didn't have poop on my pants. I was like, why did you come of all times now? I wanted to talk to you all night, and now is when you talk to me. Now, of all times, in my most vulnerable state. And I looked at her for what felt like hours until I said, very tepidly, I had a great time. Excuse me.
You drip too hard.